mind. I'm your host, Vaughn Aldridge, and this is the 584th episode of Talk Unchained. Today, we discuss the accomplishment of former President Barack Obama. They are many. I would like you to chime in, especially if you think that he didn't do anything for black people. Tell us what he should have done. The call-in number is 515-605-9891. If you have questions, press 1 to get in the queue. Please note speakerphone or listening to the show on another medium, and this may present feedback in the podcast. I have been wanting to do this show for a while because as I'm out in the community, people are always, well, let me back up. It's a few. It's not a loss. A lot of people that will complain that Barack Obama did not do anything for black people. And I'm wondering, what is it that some of us wanted him to do? Now, when he took office, Democrats had control of both the House and the Senate. And, of course, as time went on, I think 2010, if I'm not mistaken, during the midterms, that the Republicans were able to take control of both houses of Congress. But even with all of that, we're going to get in today some of the things that he was able to accomplish. And at least in this man's opinion, I say that they were many. Of course, I like to keep up with all things politics, and I think I'm in the know. But, of course, I want to hear from you to sort of – you can buttress what I say, but if there's some things that you disagree with, I'm open to that as well. I'm always willing to listen and even to change my opinion if you can make a better argument. From this guy's opinion, there are no rights or wrongs, only good arguments and perspectives. Now, of course, when he took office, he inherited a economy that was in the dumps. Of course, we were engaged in a fight over in the Middle East, trying to look for some weapons of mass destruction that we never found. So we had a couple of problems that we were dealing with there. We had a foreign war, and we had an economy that was in the tank. So let's talk about some of the things that former President Barack Obama accomplished while he was in office. Of course, we know his signature project was the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and this was a 906-page healthcare reform law that we come to know as Obamacare, and it covered millions of people. We know that this had been tried many times in the past, of course, by Democrats. No one was able to get it done. I remember the Clinton years when Hillary Clinton took on this issue, was not able to get it done, and Barack Obama was able to get it done. I think within 1 month in office, he was able to get that act signed. What else did he do? He reformed the $1 trillion student loan program. And what he did was he yanked away the program from Sallie Mae and other private lenders. And the bill, this was a bill now that he actually presented to Congress, and the bill diverted the budget savings. Check this out, of $36 billion to expand Pell Grants for low-income undergraduates, plus an unheralded but extraordinary student debt relief effort that is now quietly transforming the burden of college loans for struggling borrowers, from struggling borrowers to taxpayers. That was a huge feat if you have children that are in college, or if you were a college student yourself, an undergraduate. That was a big deal, at least from my perspective. That was a big deal. Again, we said that the economy was in the tanks, And one of the things he did was to bail out U.S. automakers. And if you live in the Midwest, that was a big deal. General Motors, both General Motors and Chrysler were bailed out because they were having big troubles, enormous debt. I'm thinking about that, and one of the things that I know is that these automakers, yes, they make cars, but they got a little greedy, and they also wanted to get into finance. They wanted to enjoy some of those big gains that the big financial interests were enjoying. And see, that was part of the problem. We're going to talk about that later, some of the things that the Obama administration did under Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, some of the things he did to restrict the big too big to fail banks, the investment banks in particular. Of course, he enacted an enormous economic stimulus package. I'm going to get more in detail about that later because that was a big deal. He signed the most sweeping rewrite of financial rules since the Great Depression. One of the things that he did toward the end of his administration was, which was a big deal, was he killed the Keystone XL pipeline. And that was a big deal, at least to our Native American brothers and sisters. But it was short-lived. Trump was to follow, and, of course, he was to put that back into effect. But it is still an accomplishment nonetheless. He issued historic carbon regulations to fight climate change. So if you are one of those people that are big on a clean environment, Obama did much from the Environmental Protection Agency. And we're going to talk some more about some of those things later. He cracked down on for-profit diploma mills, inefficient industrial motors, and investment advisors with conflicts of interest. And this is a big deal, too, especially that last one for me. I'm nearing retirement. As a matter of fact, I had put in my retirement papers this year. I took them back. But I'm still near retirement, and one of the things I found out that I believed was that if you invest your money into mutual funds, in my case, an annuity, what we call in higher ed a 403B, and upon my employment, my employer gave me the option of going with the state teacher's retirement plan, which is a state program, or to do what we refer to as alternative retirement plan. That allowed me to manage my own money. And so I figured with the foray I had made into the investment markets that I would be able to enjoy a comfortable retirement by being able to choose the mutual funds that I thought were best for me. And I can tell you, I wasn't impressed with the gains of the mutual funds that I had. And part of that had to do with these investment advisors really not looking out for my interests, but looking out for their own interests. So Obama, that's a serious deal because the Obama administration did a lot to make sure that there were no conflicts of interest there and that these investment advisors were to look out for the interest of their clients. Everyone knows that the Obamacare website was a disaster. I'm going to talk about some of the things that he wasn't able to get done, so just to be fair and balanced, right? But few realize that Obama got some of the Silicon Valley techies to fix that problem, and some of them stuck around and started what is referred to as the U.S. Digital Service, a groundbreaking effort to bring government tech into the 21st century. Now, you can imagine an institution as large as the federal government using the types of technology that they use in the private sector. That doesn't make any sense. So that's a big deal there as well to bring the government in line at least from a technology standpoint, with what the private sector is doing. President Bill Clinton crusaded for the Food and Drug Administration to regulate tobacco. He didn't get it done, but Obama made it happen. He doubled fuel efficiency standards for cars and pushed lower profile efficiency mandates for appliances. And one rule for commercial air conditioners will reduce U.S. energy use by 1%. So, again, he did a lot in the area of environmental protections. We'll talk about the climate peace accords as well. And he pushed through an $800 billion stimulus package in his first month. And Obama began with a stimulus larger than the entire New Deal in real dollars. We're talking about Franklin Delano Roosevelt era, right? And widely ridiculed, of course, by Republicans as porculous. They called it porculous. It is now widely credited by economists with helping to end the Great Recession with short-term economic adrenaline. Record aid to the vulnerable that directly boosted 13 million Americans out of poverty. Record aid to states that averted 30,000 teacher layoffs. Hard hat projects that upgraded 42,000 miles of road, 2,700 bridges, and 6,000 miles of rail. We're talking about infrastructure here, and roughly $300 billion worth of tax cuts for businesses and families. So there were tax cuts along the way. But with little fanfare, the stimulus also poured cash into Obama's long-term agenda for reshaping the country. It transformed the U.S. clean energy sector, blasting an astonishing $90 billion into renewables. And I'm big on the renewables. And other long-neglected green priorities. So we're still talking about the environment. We're still also talking about new technologies which are bringing about a wealth of jobs. Now, if you live in California, you know that more than most because California is leading the way in terms of green jobs. While birthing a new research agency, and the only investment that got much press, though, was a failed $535 million loan to a solar manufacturer called Solyndra. But that same loan program financed 9 of the world's largest solar farms, among other projects. The overall portfolio is thriving. And I've been pushing that here locally in our era, in terms of trying to educate people of the importance of that these new technologies will bring not only to the environment, but will stimulate a lot of jobs, too. That's where the future is headed. Most of our European cousins are already headed in that direction. So we need to make sure to keep Democrats in office at the federal and state level, of course, local level as well, that will push green jobs. We have to do it. There's no way around that. The green stimulus helped quadruple U.S. wind power, put the first 400,000 electric vehicles on American roads, and began a low-carbon transition that helped the United States lead the push for a bold global climate deal in Paris. Now, of course, that climate Paris deal was not in effect. Now, Obama adopted it. It was a requirement that it had to be passed by Congress, at least the Senate, from the way I understand that. That was never done. And, of course, Trump came in, and he wasn't having it. So we're yet to see where that is going to go. He used $16 billion to fund the high-speed broadband and high-speed rail initiatives. So, again, these are new technologies that are very important to economy, to a thriving economy. Those are very important initiatives. And I remember here in Ohio, which was Republican at the time, we're talking about the state government didn't want to spend the money on high-speed rail here. So we were talking about it. As a matter of fact, one of the stations was supposed to come here near Dayton, but that did not happen. $25 billion incentive program in the stimulus. We're talking about the stimulus here for health information technology. It's helped drag a pen and paper medical system into the digital age, with adoption soaring from about 10% of hospitals and 20% of doctors in 2008 to about 80% of hospitals and 80% of doctors today. We're talking about e-prescriptions are all over the place, and digitization is already reducing fatal errors and unnecessary tests caused by sloppy handwriting and inaccessible files. Now, I didn't know he had anything to do with that, and here's why I'm saying that, because my private doctor issues my prescriptions now. They're e-prescriptions. Now, I thought this is something that he was doing himself. So he used to give me a paper prescription, and I'd go to the pharmacy, of course, and have my prescription filled. All I have to do now is go straight to the pharmacy, and my prescriptions are ready for me. I pay for them, and I am out the door. I had no idea that Obamacare was the reason that my doctor is now using digital technology to help in his healthcare delivery. So that's important as well. I think all of us need to be appreciative of that as well. He wanted a $10 billion initiative, check this out, to renovate America's schools. But guess who blocked it? That's right, the Republicans. And all of you out there claiming about poor education system, well, we had a president that attempted to place $10 billion into our failing educational system. So we don't want you to blame Obama for that. You need to blame those greedy Republicans who simply want to give to the rich, right? The big investment banks, and support the military-industrial complex, in which many of them are stockholders. That's important to put that out there, too. These guys, most of them, are millionaires. A stark example from the stimulus was making work pay. Now, I know most of you don't know about this. They say only about 10% of the public was aware of this one. Making work pay, an extra $800 tax cut for most workers that most people have no clue about because he didn't want to make a big deal about it. And his advisors say that this was par for the course for him. Credit was never what he wanted. He simply wanted to make people's lives better. I talked about his Treasury Secretary earlier, Timothy Geithner, and he was widely he put into effect some very stringent financial rules because of what happened during 2007-2008. We're talking about the Great Recession. And his widely mocked stress test for big banks stabilized a financial system that was still on the edge of collapse despite Bush's Wall Street bailouts. And one study concluded that without the government's suite of emergency measures, by Tim Geithner, that is, GDP losses would have tripled and unemployment would have soared to 16%. So this is part of the Obama legacy. Let's go to the phones. I see we have code 727. Caller from every code 727. State your name if you like and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Martha Nyla calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. God's peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah. Wonderful. Praise be to God. I'm calling in thankfully for you and all the listeners. As you were going through the list, I started marking off my list as I have, you know, put down for the different areas that you were asking about. And I said, oh, okay, he's touching that. I don't know if you got to the veterans yet. that was highly a plus. Of course, the two wives were, you know, the ones who magistrated a lot of the operation of the veterans' families, but reassigning and really getting doing thorough investigative work and hiring and getting the general that was over, I think it was general, that was over that. I, you know, my son become one to benefit from that as well. We saw a shakeup here in Florida at, it's now named after one of our, I can't even think, but anyway, I benefited from President Obama. I don't know if anyone remember this, where ones were being charged the overdraft charges for a dollar cost on something, and you know, you go to the drive-thru and you use your card, and you only bought a coffee, or you did da da da, and you were getting you were low, you got that $35 charge. Many may not have experienced that, but I experienced it. So when he there was a throwdown on that, I think from his financial person, Timothy.
Consumer then, protection. Right. Consumer protection.
Yeah, consumer. You're that's right. The word. Yes. Alhamdulillah. So mm-hmm. I'll stop right there. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. You, Martha Nyla Williams from Florida. All righty. We want to hear more of those, too. What has Obama done for you? What has Obama done for you? What tangible thing can you point to that President Obama has done for you? We also want to hear some of the things that may have hindered you that Obama may have done. We want to hear those things too. We want to keep this fair and balanced. We want to tell the good side, but we also want to tell the bad side too, if there was one. And I especially want to hear from you out there to say that he didn't do anything for black people. I'm not done here, and I can tell you I won't be able to get through all of the things he's done because we don't have enough time in the program. But we're definitely going to touch on some things that I think are important. Of course, the economy is important. Jobs are important. The environment is important because we know that in our communities, that environmental pollution is a big problem. So we don't want to say that the environment is not important. And for those of us that are in the sciences, especially in the environmental sciences, we definitely know how important care of the environment is. We know about greenhouse gases, and we know that the world nations have come together. And that's what this Paris Climate Accord was about. And we're seeing already, because of environmental regulations and rules, that the environment is already regaining its strength. The environment is already regaining the proper levels of ozone in the atmosphere that we need. Of course, we're not out of the woods, but we've done some things already, and we have proven that as a world body politic that we can actually change the environment that we live in for the better. So that is a big thing as well, and Obama has done much in the area of environmental protection and safeguards, and not to mention the green jobs we've already talked about. What else are we talking about? We talked about the health information technology. That was a big deal. Again, I was giving the credit to my doctor and come to find out that was the Obama Care Act that actually put all of that into effect. We talked about the schools, but, of course, the Republicans, they don't want to see that. We're talking about, here's some other things that, in terms of financial stability or oversight of these big banks. I've been looking at economics here lately. I'm not going to talk too much about the studies that I've been doing. I'm reading a couple of books on that. I want to get an understanding of how these big financial concerns are actually taking over. And I will say this much. I've looked at the Russian economy, and I know that industry is still a big deal there in terms as it relates to their GDP. somewhere 30% of their GDP is industrial base, while China's industrial base represents over 40% of their GDP. That may be a good thing or a bad thing. Of course, we know those types of jobs normally bring higher wages. In the United States, by contrast, that is, the United States, only 10% of our GDP is industrialized. So ours is more diverse, but like I said before, industry has higher paying jobs, and that's why you see a lot of complaints among the populace, our body politic, and that was one of the reasons that Trump got into office, is because he was saying that he would bring the jobs back. Now, I don't see how he's going to be able to bring the jobs back unless he's willing to challenge these big financial concerns, these big, too big to fail. They are putting us in a lot of debt. I want you to think about this for a minute. I want the audience to think about this. How much debt are you in? And then I want you to think about not only how much total debt you have. I'm talking about your home, your cars, your credit card. How much total debt are you in? And then compare that to the assets that you have, the liquid assets that you have. Just think about that for a minute. And the nation as a whole right now is over $21 trillion in debt. Think about that for a minute. Japan is also a nation. If you remember Japan in the 80s, there were gangbusters. China is today what Japan was in the 80s. They were beasts. Now, Japan is on the brink of bankruptcy. You don't hear much about Japan days in terms of being an economic powerhouse. You just don't hear that much about Japan, a nation in debt, and we're not too far behind them. So in terms of financial reforms, they started the Financial Stability Oversight Council. It was established by the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform. So there were some Wall Street reforms, and as Sister Martha Nyla Williams just told us, there were some consumer protections too under the Dodd-Frank Act. Consumer Protection Act, as a matter of fact, is charged with three primary purposes. I'm talking about the Financial Stability Oversight Council to identify risk to the financial stability of the United States that could arise from the material financial distress or failure or ongoing activities of large, interconnected bank-holding companies or non-bank financial companies, or that could arise outside the financial services marketplace. Again, I'm talking about these big banks like Goldman Sachs. Let me give you this. This is a little bit that I found out concerning my research. International trade is a big thing. And if you watch the news, they're always at some point talking about trade deals with other countries. And so those trade deals are very important. So what comes to mind is the balance of trade, in particular the balance of payments. So we're talking about import and export. Now, those are really the words that you want to hear. We're talking about import and export of consumer goods, because when you say that, those are the job creators. Now, so that's one aspect of the balance of payment. The other aspect is financial accounts. Now, when you think financial accounts, I want you to think stocks and bonds and things of that nature. Don't provide much value to you and I. And that's where a big portion of the money is, because these big bank holding companies, when they should be expanding consumer goods manufacturers, right, and helping to start them up, start up existing manufacturers, and to expand existing manufacturers, what you find out is that they're no longer in that business, trading their own accounts. They're basically trading stocks like you and I do on the secondary market. That provides no value to the economy. But you can't get the Republicans to see that. Let me back up. You can't get Main Street to see that. Many of them have no clue what is going on. Now, I'm going to say this is something that the Democrats and the Republicans are doing. They are selling us down the river with these big private companies. And sooner or later, all of us are going to have to pay the piper. There's going to be the run on the bank, and there's not going to be any money there. So trying to get my house in order, I want to get my debt down, and I hope you want to do the thing too, and maybe hide a little bit of cash up under the mattress or get you a big safe or something like that and start to stack away some of that cash. Because when you use that credit card, and I was telling my students this the other day, is that wouldn't it be something if the economy got so bad and here you go to an ATM machine and you put your credit card in, your debit card or what have you, and it spits it right back out? And don't think that this can't happen, because it's already happening in Venezuela. What about Greece? Bankrupt. Now, this isn't anything new. We've all heard of the Great Depression. So we've had the same thing happen here. And what we have is our Federal Reserve continuing to monetize this debt. Well, and we incorrectly assume that they're printing new money. No, they're not. They're monetizing debt. And with more debt comes even more monetization of that debt. The Federal Reserve just issues, they make up credit out of the air. No, they are printing money. Don't think that they're doing that. The debt continues to arise. Now, when Obama came into office, I'm talking about the federal budget now, not the total GDP for the country. I'm talking about when Obama came into office, we were $1 trillion in the hole. And he shrunk that. The economy, let's talk about the economy a little bit more. The economy was bleeding 800,000 jobs a month when Obama took office, but now enjoys a record 69 straight months of private sector job growth. He shrunk the deficit by nearly $1 trillion. That's what I was just talking about, and extended Medicare's long-term solvency by 13 years. Now, I know we have some elders in our audience, and that Medicare is very important to you. And it's always under threat by the Republicans. They want to privatize it. Now, I don't know if you know this. I'm in a habit now when I like to look up words, the basic definition, but that's not enough. I like to go back to the root of the word. So I actually traced that word private back, the etymology of the word private. And it was bizarre that I found that it had a connection to the word to rob. So I want you to think public versus private. So the Democrats, they like programs to be public. In other words, they like to have a say in running certain programs. Whereas the Republicans like to privatize programs, put it in the hands of a privateer, a person who is likely to rob from that program. So, and that's if we were to privatize that, what we need to realize is that in a democracy, the majority rules. What are we talking about? We're talking about the common man. Supposedly, the benefit accrues to the common man in a democracy. But yet, we want to privatize programs that are meant for the common man. So this is how I look at that. I refer to that as an assault on democracy, the reduction of democracy. Real important for us to understand the difference between public and private. Many of us will see that as a good thing, but if we look at European history, which this country is based on, in particular British history, we know that there was something called the feudal system. I want you to think about this for a minute. When those immigrants came to America, they were coming from a feudal system. Very important for us to understand that, where they were coming out of a feudal system. And I've said many times before on this show that systems do not die necessarily. They transform into something else of maintaining themselves. So what we see is capitalism today, in my mind, is nothing more than a transformed feudalism. Okay, so when you go there, these words private and public, I'm talking about the feudal system. These words private and public become very important. Private, connected to another word, to rob. Let's understand that. Important for us to understand that. What else has the Obama administration done? Well, we've talked about this Financial Stability Oversight Council, some of the things they've done. They want to promote market discipline by eliminating expectations on the part of shareholders, creditors, and counterparties of such companies that the U.S. government will shield them from losses in the event of failure. Remember that? Too big to fail. Well, they put measures in place. Well, yeah, we may bail you out, but we're not going to bail you out like we did during the financial crisis. So they put some rules in place to pretty much prevent that from happening in the future, to respond to emerging threats to the stability of the U.S. financial crisis. Now, this one I may have a problem with it, because I've just told you is that one of the things they're getting consultation, and one of the things that you may not know about that we have to guard against as well is that public should be public. And then we have private enterprise. Times we mix the two. And politics and business, yes, they go together, but we have to be very careful of bringing private concern into the public sphere. And this happens a lot, especially at that Federal Reserve level, because we are pulling many of those people from the same banks, the big banks now, that are too big to fail. And that's one of the things that we see now is that some of our Gary Kahn, for a minute, he resigned, but he was with Goldman Sachs. And there were some others, too. Geithner may have been from Goldman Sachs. Don't quote me on that, but we have to watch. I think it's very important for us to watch some of these private sector actors coming into the public sphere and acting as though they're doing things for the benefit of democracy. I'm talking about the common man now, but in actuality are doing things for these private concerns. And that's one of the reasons that, well, no, that is not one of the reasons. That is the reason for the 2007-2008 economic crisis here in this country, and actually all over the world. That took place all over the world. Let's take a quick station break, and then we're going to come back and continue our discussion. The title of the show is "So Obama Didn't Do Anything." We are on Talk Unchained. Thank you. Continuing our discussion. So Obama didn't do anything, and we are talking about the many accomplishments of Barack Hussein Obama. Would still like to hear your questions and comments. Of course, the call-in number is 515-605-9891. Again, that's 515-605-9891. Press 1 to get in the queue if you have questions or comments. What has Obama done for you? Are there any tangible things that you can point to that our former president has done to you? Now, I had intended to talk about some of the things that the current president, President Trump, is doing. Or excuse me, what did I say? President Trump? I'm sorry. I meant President Trump. I mean, President Trump. That's right. President Trump is doing. His agenda is basically to undo what Obama has done. And he's saying that he's going gangbusters. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing but using the Obama blueprint, and you're undoing what he has done? So I wanted to mention that, and I wanted to talk about some of the things that he's undone, but that's going to take me away from the accomplishments of what Obama has done. So all I will say is that many of the things that Obama did, Trump is now undoing them. So we're going to stay away from what Trump is doing and continue with what Barack has done. He crafted aggressive new international financial rules and reduced the risk of future bank bailouts. We've said that. Big financial interests no longer enjoy much of a too-big-to-fail subsidy. And, of course, you know who subsidized those big concerns. It was us. So we're the ones that are going to have to pay for that sometimes down the road. Now, this will be a criticism. Yes, you guys are stabilizing the economy, but you're using credit to do it, and you're also allowing these big financial concerns, and the automakers too. Now, remember, they were financing all types of things. They were setting up financial concerns to, or companies, to finance their cars, and they ran into a big problem with that, and these banks are doing all kinds of things that are coming up. They're innovating on products. Now, here's what we have to understand. Let's say you're a big financial concern. You aren't creating anything of value whatsoever. You aren't creating anything of value. All you're doing is moving money from one place to another. Buyers and sellers, and they're out here gambling. Yes, somebody loses. Somebody gains, but another person loses. That's what we have to understand about the stock market. When these big companies come in, these tech companies in particular, all they're doing is moving money from one place to another. So when you have a company like Facebook that growing, you can best be sure there is another company that is in the same line of work that is failing because Facebook is doing well. So it's important for us to understand that too. And another example is that people are buying online now. And so you go out to a lot of these strip malls and these big fancy malls, and you see a lot of these stores closing down. That's because people aren't shopping at those malls as much as they used to. They're buying online, and I'm one of them. I'm going to admit it. I don't go out that much. If I can get it online, I'll get it online. He developed rules for clearinghouses for derivatives trades. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is what these big financial companies are doing, and that's one of the reasons we got into problem with the subprime lending. They were taking these mortgages. They were basically giving mortgages to people that they knew could not keep up with the payments. And if you've ever bought a house before, you get what's called a mortgage. And if you trace that word back, the word mortgage, it means till death. And many of us die and never pay those homes off. So that's an appropriate term, the word mortgage. Trace it back. Don't believe me. Trace that word back, and it means something to the effect till death. And so they were taking these mortgages of these people that really couldn't afford them. Number one, they were charging them too much, and they were packaging them together to trade on the stock market. And when the people weren't able to pay, there was a cascading effect in the economy, and that's what started the 2007-2008 financial crisis, and it reverberated all over the place. Again, we're dealing with credit. We're not putting money in places that produce tangible goods, and people are just using too much credit. I'm talking about all of us. I'm not just talking about corporations who borrow money to pay payroll and things like that. I'm talking about us as well. Credit, we're using credit to buy everything, groceries and everything else. And there's a lot of debt out there. As I said before, $21 trillion in debt. And now the federal government is also operating in a deficit. We talked about Obama shrinking the deficit by $1 trillion. Now the government is spending more money than it has, and I'm particularly concerned about the military budget, which is upwards about now, if I'm not mistaken, about $800 billion. And I looked it up, and by the year, 4 years, what is this, 2018, so 4 years from now, that's 2022, the defense budget will be $1 billion per year. We will spend $1 billion per year. That is incredible. And that is a large chunk of the budget. We're talking somewhere around 21% of federal spending is on defense. Continue to rise. What did I say? I messed my numbers up there. I think I said it's already $800 billion. By the year 2022, it will be $1 trillion. We will spend $1 trillion on defense alone. That is ridiculous. And the United States has, for the most part, 3 to 5% of our GDP has been on military spending. And that was one of the accomplishments that was accredited to Reagan. I'm thinking about the former Soviet Union. We were in a so-called Cold War, right? And Reagan came into office, and he just started spending more money on defense. And, of course, we had always been doing that. Russia's economy is nowhere near big as ours, and they figured out, well, we can't continue to compete with the United States on defense. It's going to break us. And so that was one of the accomplishments attributed to former President Ronald Reagan. 21 states raised their minimum wages after Obama elevated the issue, the bully pulpit, right? 21 states raised their minimum wages after Obama elevated the issue. Federal contractors can no longer discriminate against gays. Women can now serve in combat, and the rich are paying higher taxes. There was something I posted on Facebook also that Trump is repealing some of the gains for women in terms of equal pay. Now, this had to do with federal contractors as well. He got rid of the arbitration clause that had to do with sexual harassment. This is for federal contract, only for federal contractors. They had a clause in the contracts, employment contracts, that said that women had to submit to arbitration if there was a sexual harassment claim, and the Obama administration did away with that, and so women were able to go into a court of law instead of having to be forced to submit to arbitration, as well as the fact that they had to be more transparent in their pay as well. A new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, lots of consumer protections. And one of the things that was touted as a big deal was a new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is policing unscrupulous mortgage brokers, payday lenders, and other rip. We're near the end of the show, so let's talk about some of the things that he wanted to do, but he couldn't get accomplished. He wanted to eliminate wasteful programs, but other than killing the F-22 fighter jet, an absurdly expensive presidential helicopter, and the bank regulatory agency called the Office of Thrift Supervision, he didn't succeed with that. And we have to remember that the Republicans were now in control of both houses. He also didn't create a lot of enthusiasm for the Democratic Party or Democratic candidates, since Republicans have taken back both houses of Congress and made impressive gains in state houses on his watch, riding a powerful wave of hostility to federal overreach. Remember, they saw him as a socialist, and he wanted gun control and immigration reform, but didn't get that done when the Republicans took over. So what are we having to deal with right now, this idea of gun control and immigration? But his minimum wage push, he also wanted to push for a federal minimum wage, but of course that was stalled in Congress, as did his public pushes for, check this out, universal pre-K. Here we are again on education. Now, this ought to sound familiar. Free community college. Who was touting that? That's Bernie Sanders, right? And paid parental leave. Many of your European countries, which lean to the left, and this, when you hear me use or say to the effect, when are we going to go the way of our smarter European cousins? These are some of the things that I'm talking about. They already have this. And Obama made some of his most eloquent speeches after the massacres in Tucson, Newton, and Charleston, but the gun control bills he pushed went nowhere. He simply lacked the votes. The same problem stalled his American Jobs Act, a package of tax cuts, infrastructure projects, and other goodies he announced in a primetime address to Congress in 2011. Remember, the Republicans took over in 2010. Pundits had been scolding him for neglecting his bully pulpit, so he embarked on a national brainstorming tour to build support, leading crowds, and chants of pass the bill. And Congress did not pass the bill, of course. Looks like we have one more caller. Caller from 937. Caller from 937. State your name, if you like, and where are you calling from?
My name is David Greer, and I'm calling from Dayton, Ohio.
Brother Greer, how you doing?
Doing fine, Mr. All, just doing fine. I appreciate everything that you've been speaking about. My one question is in reference to the Consumer Protection Bureau. Didn't the Trump administration disband that bureau?
I'm not sure about that, but I can tell you this. He's on a rampage basically trying to deregulate mostly everything that Obama has done. That seems to be his only agenda in terms of where he is in terms of consumer protections. I'm not sure about that. But he's on a rampage, and you are totally correct. Those will, I'm sure, be in his crosshairs. Right now, the environmental policies, he's repealing a lot of those. Now, much of this is going to have to do with whether or not it was a bill or not. If he can do it via executive order, then, of course, he doesn't have to rely on Congress to do that. Some of these things I mentioned here tonight, I'm not sure if they were via executive order or if they were via a bill that had to be passed in Congress. This Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, that sounds like something that would have to be done via Congress, but I'm not going to swear to that. So I really can't answer your question on that, but I can I'm pretty confident that that's going to be part of his agenda to basically repeal everything that Obama has done, especially if it only requires an executive order.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David Greer from Dayton, Ohio, for listening to the show. All right. Want to thank all of our callers for your thoughtful questions and comments. If you would like to listen to past episodes of Talk Unchained, visit blogtalkradio.com/AmericanMuslim360 and search for Talk Unchained or Marlon Aldridge among the on-demand episodes or in the search box near the top of the webpage. Tune in to more informative, thought-provoking broadcasts on AM 360 tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Issues with Solutions, Money Sense, and A New Day for El Islam. This is Marlon Aldridge. I welcome you back next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And each and every Wednesday, same place, same time, same intellectual stimulation. Spread the word about the show. Follow me on Facebook. Until next time, peace be unto you.